Christians should operate fully in the public square, and that includes by engaging with the media.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And one of the things that they can do is encourage reporters to report things accurately and truthfully. They can express their opinions in letters to the editor and op-eds. And one of the things that's important is to just let people in the world know of the differences of opinion that are out there, that Christians don't share a lot of the secular thinking that is promulgated by the media. And so being bold and being able to stand up and simply speak truth in the public square, it's a powerful witness to others, and it's a service you can perform for your community and the country at large.
You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christians engaging the news media at our Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, he it has come down to us in kind of the aphorisms, the various sayings that link Solomon with what many people believe to be his most prominent characteristic. Not his wealth, not even his number of wives or the success of his kingdom in the Old Testament, but his wisdom. It does raise a question. What is this wisdom of which Solomon possessed so much by a gift of God, of which Solomon is renowned and for which Solomon asked God and received it, along with all the other things that he did not ask God for? It's all found there in 1 Kings chapter 3. And we're going to be talking about the wisdom of Solomon as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
What is the wisdom that we're talking about here? I imagine that's not very easy to define, especially given what many people think passes for wisdom nowadays.
Yes, and part of the problem is the English translation. It's in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Solomon says, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people?" The translation, an understanding mind, means more than that. In the literal Hebrew, it's actually a listening heart. That is really very important, because true wisdom is to have your heart listen to Jesus, to God. Wisdom is therefore keeping your own thoughts, your deeds, and your words in sync with the divine will in all of your life. It's a number of passages we can look at, but Proverbs 9:10 puts it this way: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." If you take a look at Adam and Eve, when Eve sinned, she wanted to become like God. And therefore, she wasn't willing to listen to God. She listened instead to the serpent, who said, by the way, who was Satan, who said, "You eat of that apple, you will be like God, being able to distinguish between good and evil." Well, that was the problem. She no longer listened to God. She listened instead to the serpent. In fact, it's kind of interesting. In Genesis 3:6, she took the tree for food. Number one, it was a delight to the eyes. It looked pretty good. Number two, the tree was desired to make one wise. She thought she would buy like God. And also, at the beginning, the tree was good for food. So there was a natural reason. There was a reason to the eyes. It looked really good. And then she would also become wise. Therefore, her wisdom was a denial of the fear of God. She was not afraid of God, that he could send her to eternal damnation, even though he said, in the day that you sin, death will be the result. So wisdom, from the biblical point of view, is not a practical wisdom. It's not somebody with a high IQ. You may consider them to be smart or something. Wisdom is keeping one's thoughts, deeds, and words in sync with the divine will. In recent preaching, I've hit on this theme, namely that the goal of every preaching, the goal of every Bible study, confirmation, is to get you to think like God thinks. And that is totally contrary to the way we think. And yet, that's the wisdom that Solomon was given.
So talk about the interaction here that we find in 1 Kings chapter 3, where first God, if I'm not mistaken, God kind of approaches him and says, ask whatever you want. Why does God do this?
God asks that question because he wants to see where the faith of Solomon truly is. Had he, as God himself said in verse 10 and following, or 11, because you have asked this, namely wisdom, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. There's a lot of passages that give the impression that whatever we ask of God, we shall receive from God. But it's very clear from the Bible that that asking will only be answered the way that it should be answered when what we ask for is according to his will. In fact, that's an actual Bible verse. It's 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. This is extremely important, that God's answer to our prayers is not yes sometimes, no sometimes, wait sometimes. I used to think that, but I was corrected by one of my listeners on my radio program. She said, no, God always answers yes. Because if you ask according to his will, he always answers yes. There's only two kinds of prayers. The one is asking for a promise he has made. Well, he's going to definitely give that because he promised it. But the second is when we ask for something that is not promised in the Bible, we are to add what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be thy will. And God's answer to that is, yes, it will be according to my will. Philippians really shows that Jesus came to earth for the neighbor. He was not looking at his own self-interest, but the interest of others. And that's really another way of understanding God's wisdom that is given to us, that we're now looking for the interest of others rather than our own self-interest. That's a huge distinction in the difference between an unbeliever's prayer and a believer's prayer. Every prayer of an unbeliever is always out of self-interest. Even though it may seem like he has the interest of others, it's finally his own interest for which he is praying. In contrast to the Christian prayer that's moved by the Holy Spirit, where our interest is that of others rather than our own personal likes and dislikes.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday, August the 29th. We're in 1 Kings chapter 3, the wisdom of Solomon. There's a story told about Solomon later in chapter 3 that demonstrates the wisdom that God had given him. We'll get into that story. Another one of these stories that has come down to us in some of the sayings and ideas that we have nowadays about wisdom. Pastor Tom Baker hosts the radio show Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there at issuesetc.org. Click listen on demand. Pastor Marcus Zill, Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, with a prayer for this academic year at our colleges and universities.
Almighty and most merciful God, we ask your blessing on all college students, campus ministry workers, and staff who are joined together on the universities of this land, especially those who bear your name and given the recent events of unrest in Charlottesville. Grant them peace. Fill them with high ideals, give them love and goodwill to all people, and above all, keep them faithful to you and your word, even under your Son's most holy cross, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
LCMSU connects and supports Lutheran college students as they face countless challenges to their biblical worldview, doctrine, ethics, and practices. Learn more about their work at lcms.org/lcmsu. lcms.org/lcmsu.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the wisdom of Solomon. So much of literature, it's not even really fair to call a lot of what is printed literature, so much of secular fiction written for women and by women is, it's basically literary porn. And if you go to Christian fiction, you get kind of a bad combination of bad theology and bad writing. The Issues Etc. book of the month for August, The Harvest Rays, is well written and it has good theology. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Katie Schuerman. The Harvest Rays is the third in the Anthems of Zion series that she has written, the third and the final. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page. Or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for The Harvest Rays, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tom, the story that's told immediately after this incident with God giving Solomon wisdom is intended, obviously, to demonstrate that wisdom, and it certainly does. And the story is the one of the famous two prostitutes who come with but one child between them. How do you tell that story?
Yes, and we're going to be have to be a little bit careful with the children, because a lot of them don't realize what even a prostitute is. But these were prostitutes, which really gives an insight into God's wisdom. Just because they were living a life that is contrary to the will of God did not mean that God's wisdom would not come to them. And in fact, a lot of times pastors may be dealing with people who are really outside the mainstream of proper ethics, proper morality. That doesn't mean we ignore them, but like Jesus, we would sit and even eat with them in order to try and have the opportunity to share with them the message. And we can only probably conclude that this woman whose child was saved really had great faith in Solomon and maybe learned something about God. But what had happened is that the two women each had a child born during the night, but the one child died because the mother had laid on the child and put it to death. But in the morning, they both argued as to which one really had the child. And so Solomon came in, and talk about wisdom. He came up to them and said, okay, bring me a sword. And the sword came to Solomon, and he said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son had indeed lived, what she said to the king, oh, my Lord, give her, that is the other woman, the living child, and by no means put him to death. But the other woman said, oh, he shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him. And then the king realized whose child really belonged to which woman. Give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death. She is his mother. And in fact, that incident went throughout Israel, and they heard of the judgment that the king had redeemed, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived what? That the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. So wisdom does not just mean that you believe God's word, but it also means that you do practical things in the temporal realm that are indeed just and according to the will of God. Because that wisdom which you have received is not something you concocted out of your mind. It is actually a gift of the Holy Spirit given to believers, and therefore the decisions they make, even in the temporal realm, are far closer to God's will than decisions of unbelievers.
So is Solomon intended to be this outstanding exception, someone who is exceptionally wise? Or is this wisdom with which he was given, which at its heart really is, according to what you have, how you have described it, is faith, really? I mean, that's that he wouldn't have had this wisdom apart from faith, both to understand and know God's will. Is it accessible to us?
Yes. It is accessible to us, particularly in the waters of baptism. Because in the water of baptism, you not only receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins, I'm quoting here Acts chapter 2, but you also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit within you, then you begin to have that new heart that David talked about in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And therefore, we begin to understand and think more and more like God. And our wisdom, therefore, is in sync with the will of God, which is the highest form of wisdom. One could say that the first level of wisdom is listening to the word of God. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. But then the second level is, therefore, what is true wisdom? It's trust in Christ Jesus. Jesus is our wisdom. And that's why with the Sunday school teachers, they should do the best that they're able to do to point the children to Jesus as the true fountain of wisdom and the one who will help us through whatever problems we have because of his promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. Never will there be coming a temptation to you beyond what you're able to endure. Promise after promise, because Jesus personifies wisdom, because he is God. And therefore, trusting him, which means trusting his promises, is really the highest form of wisdom.
I think that the Solomon story gives us an idea of where those promises are, where we have access to them. Because twice in this account, it commends Solomon essentially for right worship. He is one who is, he goes to Jerusalem, there he offers his sacrifices and things like that. And I should note that the kings that will follow him deviate both in wisdom and in their faith precisely at that point where they begin to worship other gods. About a minute or so, talk about the wisdom that is found in where Christ reveals himself in word and sacrament.
Yes. We began with 1 Corinthians 3:9, where Solomon asks, give your servant therefore an understanding mind. And that translation, understanding mind, really comes from the literal Hebrew, a listening heart. Where do we have a listening heart better than in divine worship? We listen, as the pastor says, upon this your confession. I, by virtue of my office, in the stead of Jesus Christ, forgive you your sins. Where do we listen better than in the Lord's Supper? This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. The listening heart takes great joy in hearing the promises of God through divine worship and through our meditation of the Bible at home. And that is the essence of wisdom.
So the law and gospel in 1 minute for the children?
Yes. The law is, we like to follow our own wisdom. We think we're smarter than God. We're often like Eve. We want to become like God in our minds. The gospel forgives those sins. Remember, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus forgave him. And that forgiveness comes to every one of us who, like Eve and Peter, fail and sin, but God remains faithful and forgives our sin.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, we'll talk with Tom about Solomon building the temple. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., it's our weekly media coverage of religion feature with Terry Mattingly. We'll talk with Bill McKeever about Remnant, an offshoot of the Mormon Church that's drawing away some members. And we'll have Dr. Ryan McPherson respond to a New York Times column critical of abstinence-based sex education. The wisdom of God has come down to us in the person of Jesus Christ. To know him is to know the true God. To know him is to know God's will, his will in terms of his word. He has come to reveal it to us, to verify it for us, and to fulfill it in his saving wisdom at the cross, his suffering and his death, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.